What is the main message from your study of climate change and crop wild relatives?
Well, the main message is really that these crop wild relatives are very important resources that need conserving, and they themselves provide essential genes for adapting to climate change. In the wild, climate change is affecting their survivability as well. So there's high probabilities of a number of species going extinct. And so we need to do something about that. And there's a variety of strategies available to us.
But, I mean, peanuts, cowpeas, who cares?
Well, in all of these crops, there's actually millions of people depending on them. And you look at peanuts alone, and recent varieties that use wild relatives are increasing production and saving crop failure, which accounts for millions and millions of dollars worldwide. And this is something that's going to happen to any species anyway. We use these as three examples, but this is true for rice, wheat, barley, all of the major staples.
Okay, I want to come back to what you think we can do about it in a minute, but how did you get into this? I mean, what gave you the idea of looking at the effects of climate change on crop wild relatives?
We see really climate change is one extra threat, but we've been looking for a long time at these crop wild relatives, looking at their distribution and considering other types of threat, which are land use change, for example, loss of habitat, growth of infrastructure and so on. So we've been thinking about these things, and climate change is kind of the other major threat that's potentially going to affect these resources. So just one more thing.
Sorry?
It was just one more thing to look at.
So, how does start again? So, what exactly does this suggest in terms of ways to mitigate the threat? How does it help you to conserve or look after these species?
The message really is that you need complementary approaches. So, first of all, it's a very strong message that we need to conserve ex situ through collections, gene banks. The collections are very incomplete in these crop wild relatives. It's approximately 4% of holdings are the wild relatives. The rest are cultivars. So it's a strong message to these ex situ collections, especially for the species that are predicted to go extinct. But there are still a number of areas where the species will continue to exist. So in these areas, it will need in situ strategies of protected areas and management of these species.
The whole problem, though, I mean, you say we need to collect them. It's kind of ironic that this is celebrating International Biodiversity Day, which is part of the Convention on Biological Diversity, which is maybe the biggest source of the problem for collectors.
Well, yeah, I mean, we hope that this policy is getting clearing up a little bit. One of the problems is that the International Treaty on Plant Genetic Resources is certainly going to help and improve access to these genetic resources, and we really hope that access is gained and collections are strengthened. But one of the problems that we still face is that, for example, peanuts are not on the Annex 1 list. So they're not being prioritized, and policies really aren't accounting for that. So there we are in a little bit of a stick still. We need to resolve these policy issues so you can get granted access.
Do you think data like the data you've presented will help to resolve the policy issues?
I think it's one component. It's just more evidence of the importance, and that needs to be communicated to the international and national bodies.
Well, we do what we can. But does the GIS mapping, does that also tell you where to go looking for specimens?
Yeah, that's one of the other things that we've worked on. It's not explicitly in this paper that we've just published, but it does have predictions of where the species are to be found, and we've actually had used GIS to target on a number of collections in different countries, in Paraguay, in Guatemala. We've used, for example, on wild chili, we've prioritized a collecting mission in Paraguay for a very kind of threatened endemic species of wild chili. So we use the GIS to find where we're most likely to find it, based on habitat, based on climate. And then the collectors went out and after two collecting missions without success, on the third that then used this GIS analysis, they found six new populations. So it is a very good planning tool for them.
What's next for this line of inquiry?
On research, we could continue doing this work on other gene pools, which I think would be worthwhile. But probably the more interesting scientific questions are really getting to grips with plant adaptation, and maybe through field experiments. There have been a few nice examples recently that show that plants might be more broadly adapted than we think, and field experiments could start to confirm that. So that, for me, is the real interesting scientific area right now.
Well, maybe we'll talk to you again about that sometime.
Okay.
Thanks very much, Andy.
Okay. Thank you.